Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome once again to Blog Talk Radio Updraft here on the Family Healing Circle. I am so excited today to be back with everyone again. We have an amazing guest today. I am so proud to call her friend, but she's also an amazing artist, a healing artist, and does a range of things from spoken word, performance poetry, just writing poetry, period, to being a wonderful Reiki practitioner and visioning practitioner. And this lady was really famous this year, has become really, really famous for those of you that were following the Baltimore Uprising, as we tend to call it, post Freddie Gray. You may have seen this woman's picture, Grace, many national media outlets, both electronic and in print. It's a lady dressed in white with the smudge stick standing in front of the police officers or walking and cleansing the space, if you will. I'm proud to call her friend, Shamika Dream. Hey, Dream, what's up?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad I finally got you on the show.
Thank you for having me. That was quite the introduction. I was like, oh, well, who's that person?
Yeah, don't we always do that? It's like we're talking to somebody, and mm-hmm. like, you know you did it because you were there, but to have somebody mm-hmm. else like intro you like that, it's just like, I think it's pretty special.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It sounded very special.
You are so special. So talk to me, where the heck are you these days? I mean, you know,
I know,
what's
right?
going on? World adventurer here.
I am in California in the Bay Area. So I was on the, you know, going around the country on the Ineffable Dream tour, kind of stopping as Spirit told me to. And right when I left Baltimore, I left on right in that weekend after everything. Well, it was still happening. The first weekend in May, I came to do some stuff, some performances and shows in Vallejo, specifically at the Artisan Cultural Arts Center here in some other spaces, and told me to stay, so I did.
That's pretty powerful, right? When you have family in New York and I know in Florida,
yes.
and then being based yes. in Baltimore for a while, and now you're like 3,000 plus miles away.
I try not to think about the miles.
Okay.
It makes it, it's very, although that's going to be so good in a little bit because I'm about to earn a free trip at this point with the flying. But the distance is different. I've lived far from my physical family for a long time, although I'm always in contact with them because I went to boarding school for high school and was away for college. But I've never spent, like, moved away from, like, I've lived outside of Baltimore, but never really, like, started a business and was doing things elsewhere. And my dream, like, is to be bi-coastal, and I'm doing that. But and I'm definitely creating friendships here, but there's definitely nothing like home, which is what I had come to know and love Baltimore as. But Vallejo has a lot to offer. The Bay Area has a lot to offer. And my latest venture in my mama's kitchen, handmade artisan style body products, has been receiving a lot of support, not only in Baltimore, but especially here. So, it's good to place some roots somewhere and to have a new energy so that when I do come back to the East Coast, I feel like it's a bit more relaxed, but at the same time, more focused while I'm there.
Understood. Understood. So talk to me about the work that you're doing there and how you actually ended up there in Vallejo. I know it was part of some work that you had done elsewhere. So take us on a little
Right.
travelogue of
So
Shamika the
that
artist and
starts. Yeah. So to not take it back too far, I would say it actually would be a year this. What's today? Tomorrow, I think, the 27th. Yeah. So tomorrow's the 1 year anniversary of when I started officially traveling with and did a major. I ended up doing a major trip with an organization called the Monument Quilt, or a project called the Monument Quilt, which is a growing crowdsourced collection of stories by and for survivors of rape and abuse. It's about creating public healing space, and we did a tour. I serving as resident healing artist last summer of 13 states. As we traveled in the Monument Mobile, so we did 13 stops around the country. So I went, oh my gosh, where did we go? North Carolina,
I know North
Baton
Dakota was one
Rouge,
of the places.
Des Moines, South Dakota.
South
We
Dakota,
were
thank
in
you.
Lakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Pittsburgh, Chicago, New York. I'm forgetting some, but it was a lot of driving and a lot of awesome energy and being able to watch, to literally watch the quilt grow. And then we came and I did some more traveling, but to kind of keep it concise, the Monument Quilt went to Jacksonville, Florida in January, late January, for the Marissa Alexander trial. And that was about arts and act. Well, it's always about arts and activism, right? But this was very, very, very specific because it wasn't like just a quilt display. There was this trial happening, and a woman's life was on the line. And while there, I met some of the women from the Black Women's Lives Matter group who had caravaned from California. Which and we thought we had driven far from Baltimore, but they had caravaned from California, just to come support Marissa Alexander in Jacksonville, and just created some relationships out of that, because a lot of stuff happened in Jacksonville. It was amazing, and created relationships out of that, and out of those relationships, was invited to come to Vallejo to teach Reiki and to also do art shows. And so the art show that I did, it was supposed to happen in Baltimore, but Baltimore Uprising was happening, and I chose to do that. What to do, and I don't want to act like I'm not an organizer from that movement at all, but I chose to just go and participate in that and do what I could. And yeah, ended up in Vallejo, and so the show was amazing, and then the Reiki workshops were equally amazing. But I think what was even more impactful for me was that time of rest that happened, because I got to recognize, as much as we do and as much time as we get to spend being out and serving, it's also really good to be inward. And so I'm doing Reiki, I'm practicing Reiki, but in a much more quiet way. Although when I come to Baltimore next month, I'll be doing some workshops, so it'll be, big, right? Not big, but you know, that out thing again, or the extrovert again. And then I also, I meet people through the community market at Muschietti's Coffee Roastery here in Vallejo, and have a lot of interesting conversations and end up really meeting a lot of people, not a lot of, but people with, I don't want to, not term, well, terminal, but they could, they're considered by some people to be terminal situations, or people who are what you call allies or secondary survivors and supporters, as well as a number of survivors of trauma, of rape and abuse and trafficking, because it is the Bay Area. And as you know, the Bay is very similar to, wow, for some reason my spirit said Jacksonville, but I went to say Baltimore, in terms of it being a major thoroughfare of people coming through. And from what I know, even though I don't know a lot, I'm hearing that this town especially, there's a lot of that, especially with young girls. And I've met people without telling, like, anyone's stories, because, you know, we don't do that. But, like, I've met people who, more than one person specifically, who, since I've been out here, whose spouse was a perpetrator, not to them, well, no, to them also, like, they were emotionally abusive and mentally abusive to them, but that they were either participating in the trafficking of children or had sexually abused their own child, things like that. So in this moment, I've really just been being present with them, or in these moments. Mm-hmm. I've been spending a lot of time being present, but also doing my work, and like my internal work, and making, so like gathering herbs and making scrubs and just starting to make things that people are asking for them. So it's not only about, like, I did a lot, I used to do a lot of performing, you know, like, you know that, like, I think the East Coast Shamika Dream is a performer all the way. And on the West Coast, I perform also, but I spend a lot more time hibernating so that when I come back out, I can do that again. So, you know, yeah. And I've been doing some writing, as you know. So I've been doing some writing, and I've been doing some smudging, some saging, at different times, just trying to, not trying, but sending positive vibes to different places and spaces. I know that there is some stuff happening, like, right now in Cleveland. And so I want to send a lot of love to the Gene Defenders in Cleveland, because they're going through it and in peace. And so, yeah, I've been, my activism has been about manifesting my personal peace, because I know that through that we affect others in peace.
That is really great to hear. For those
don't
know, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
For those that are not aware of the Marissa Alexander, would you like to share that information? I know it's sort of past
Okay.
But many people may not be aware, but you mentioned it, and I just want to make sure that folk understand what that's about.
Okay, sure. So Marissa Alexander was, how many years ago was that? I don't, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago was when it happened, but she was a woman in Jacksonville who fired a warning shot against, she was being assaulted. Let me start with that part, right? So she was being assaulted by an abusive, estranged husband, and her story is in Essence magazine, in her words, one of these last month, maybe May, June, or April, May, or June, one of them, but it's in her words there, because I believe in, you know, us telling our stories in our words. But she fired a warning shot and didn't hit him, didn't hit anybody, you know, and then was arrested, even though this is the same prosecutor, county and prosecutor, where George Zimmerman was acquitted for murdering Trayvon Martin. So the same prosecutor, Angela Corey, prosecuted this trial with Alexander, and what they did was they were trying to give her, I believe, like 60 years in prison,
right,
for firing a warning shot. They were accusing her of like endangering her baby and all this other stuff, right? And so she ended up spending 3 years in prison, and like while all of this was happening, and in the end, she pled. And I don't remember anymore, like in this moment, what she pled to, but she did a plea bargain. And so when we were there, it was during that time, like when we were hoping that like the plea bargain was going to go through, all of that jazz, right? Because she was still looking at like 20 years, 20 years,
right.
16. Like the numbers were changing in different times, like in different parts of the scenario. And so many organizations like the Gene Defenders and African American Policy Forum and Monument Quilt and Black Women's Lives Matter, and like a number of organizations in Jacksonville, whose names I can't remember right now, came together to support her. We were asked to, you know, to come with the quilts. And then, like, there were a couple of poignant moments that happened. For example, outside of the courtroom, there were a number of us who were up there to either be in the courtroom, but we couldn't be in the courtroom, so we're like right in the hallway outside, and you know, energy is high and people are upset, and so some people were starting to make comments towards the sheriffs, mm-hmm. bailiffs, maybe they're the same thing, and it was at that moment, but I had met another person who was out there, and they were protesting through another organization, and found out that they were a Reiki practitioner as well. And so just kind of made an announcement and asked everyone if it was cool, and kind of put their problems face up and to get quiet, and then we were going to change the energy in the space, and we did, and it worked, you know, so that was pretty cool. So that was it. And then she ended up having, so she pled out, she got 3 years, like time served, and then 3 years, I think, house arrest. So it's still, like, you know, like there's different opinions on whether or not that's positive or negative, you know.
Right.
She's home,
right.
You know, so
right.
She's home with her children. At the same time, she is on house arrest.
Right. Yeah.
And that
I
speaks
just
to a lot of issues. Oh, sorry.
It speaks, no, you're fine. It does. It speaks to a whole lot of issues.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, like, there's the issue of domestic violence there. There's the issue
yes.
of Black women in the justice system. There's the
yeah.
issue of custody around
right.
Abusive parents. And that, I
yeah.
believe, did not get talked about a whole lot during the whole situation, mean probably just because there was so much going on, you know, there was so much other going on. There's the thoughts
right.
around the healing around it. Oh my gosh, the arts. So one of the organizations, and I don't remember which one, but they made a comic book. I actually have one of them. They made like a Marissa Alexander comic book. They were using
wow.
it as one of the fundraisers for her, her trial, her, you know, her fees, because she has to pay. Oh yes. There are legal fees too that she has to pay to be on house arrest.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's that as well, and it's like not
right.
cheap.
Which is completely insane, because you have Zimmerman who's walking around and has had multiple, you know, obviously he got away with, you know, the Trayvon Martin, you know, with murder, and then to turn around and then have been in. Had run-ins with law enforcement twice even after that, and this woman is trying to save her life, did not even kill the guy, didn't injure anybody, but just trying to save her own life, and is
mm-hmm.
ending up doing six years altogether. It just boggles the brain, but, you know, her skin color
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all these other things, in an open carry state on top of that, or standard
mm-hmm.
ground state, I'm sorry. Which is just mind-boggling, and it's very similar to the situation. I know I also have traveled a bit with the Monument Quilt, and we missed you on the last trip, but we went back to Oklahoma in support of Condoleo. In support of Condoleo Hall.
Yes.
Who basically has already completed 10 of 30 years for supposedly
mm-hmm.
failing to protect her child. Now, her abusive partner did his 3 years and has gone on his merry little way, and she's in prison having served 10 years with 20 to go. However, while we were there actually on the ground, spreading the quilts on the ground and doing a display, preparing the display, we were told that they were going to allow her to go to the next level to get a commutation here, to get her sentence commuted. So everybody's really excited about that. We know that there's still a lot more work to do, but at least she's gone through the first hurdle. So and so we continue to monitor and to watch, and we've been doing some work with Ultraviolet as well. They were part of the quilt display. And so we are hoping to move forward, and hopefully we can say one day, not too far in the distant future, that she is free. So it's
exactly.
Amazing work. What made you, as an artist, I'm going to ask you this question, then we're going to take a short pause for a couple of commercial announcements, but what made you decide to, what was it about this kind of work that drew you into using your art partially for activism? I know you make art, you write beautiful pieces just on purpose, because that is your gift and that's who you are. Anybody who's ever heard your stuff, which we're going to play a little bit of that in a moment, but anybody who's ever heard your stuff, it's amazing. Yes, we are. And so what was your entree into this kind of work as an activist, an artist activist?
You know, when I was in high school back in, no, I'm joking, in the 90s.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Asked,
I can do that. You can't do that. I can do that.
I know, right? I'm like,
I've
yeah, way back in the
90s, you, right?
When I was in high school.
Yeah, don't do that.
I would write, and I wouldn't perform all the time, but I would write. And my teachers would know I would write. And, like, this organization that I was in, I think BASA, Black and Hispanic Student Alliance at my high school. We would do like the Martin Luther King celebration thing or Black History Month. We got one or the other or both, you know. and we would have like the program, and I would be asked to write a piece. And so I would write, you know, it was always around that time. So that's what I would write about. And that's what I would share with them rather. And then actually, I started writing pieces that like were speaking. Well, in 2002 through one, you know, like my last year of college, when I started performing in Baltimore, there were a lot of things I was seeing in my first year of teaching. And I didn't consider it activism. I was just writing poetry and performing it. So I didn't think or realize that putting words out there, you're activating something, which means you're being an activist, right? And so I was doing it then, and I would perform pieces at times. I could do like mini workshops with my students or do workshops, and I was asked to see them in places. And I would also do workshops for homeless women or women without borders. Without walls, I should say. And a lot of the times I would just be like, oh, you know, we're going to write because writing helps relieve stress. And so just write something, you know, that kind of thing. But all this stuff would come out. And this was before I knew about, like, I knew about healing arts, but I didn't practice them formally, you know. So I was just doing things like that. And so it was, I think, always in me. And then in terms of like the day, one day when I woke up and said like I'm an activist was on the tour last summer, because I was like writing other pieces and getting all these ideas, but I realized that I was talking to people and you know, and it was changing them, and I was like, I'm not an organizer, I'm an activist. And then one day I looked at Hannah and Rebecca, and I was like, am I an activist? Because I could just be activist, you know. And they looked at me and kind of laughed. And they were so funny. And I'm laughing now because I'm really realizing that I really looked at these two girls, and I was like, women, excuse me. And I was like, am I an activist? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, really? You're like, yeah, like you've been one. I was like, when did this happen? And I'm like, when did this happen? And
When did
real,
this
like,
happen,
how did this
right?
happen? And they're like, yeah. So I woke up one day and
Right.
realized that I was an activist, is what I would say.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, right, you just realized that it was always there and part of the journey, and you came to consciousness about what it was you were doing. Understood. Understood. I think many of us have that experience. I'm going to invite folks to call in if you have a question for Shamika Dream, or Dream as we call her. Please give us a call, 646-929-0630. And I'm going to ask Shamika to hang on for a bit. We've got a couple of things to take care of commercial-wise.
Okay.
And we'll be back. Some promotional stuff for the Family Healing Circle here on Blog Talk Radio.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old school favorites in R&B, hip hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us, as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms, right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
That's right, right here on the Family Healing Circle. We have an amazing array of shows for you throughout the week, and I understand that a Saturday has been added with the amazing Frankie, and she talks fashion. So right here, same time every day at 7 p.m. on the Family Healing Circle, at least Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, ooh, I don't know, let me backtrack, I don't say Friday, but Saturday for sure, so we hope you'll join us again. I am in studio right here on Blog Talk Radio with performing artist, spoken word artist, performance poet, poet normal, regular, artist,
so
activist, and entrepreneur, Shamika Dream. And we are talking about art and activism, and we're going to continue to chat, and we're also going to be talking about entrepreneurship, because we're going to talk a little bit about her new venture. But first, we're talking about this lady, and it's one thing to talk about it, but we got to let you know about her work. So I'm going to play a couple of tracks. She was a guest artist. She graciously agreed to be a guest on my CD, Triumphant, which was released almost 3 years ago. Gosh, time flies whether you're having fun or not. No, it was released 2 years ago. I'm sorry. Yeah, we remember, but we started writing
it. Oh, 2 years?
It's been that long. I know. We started writing about 3 years ago. We wrote a couple of songs. I knew I wanted her to be on the CD, and I brought her a couple of ideas. Well, the one idea, I was like, I'm not quite sure what I want to do with it, and we just started playing around with couplets, and there it was. And the other piece, the one I'm going to play first, is called No Victim. And so she opens that piece, and then she has a – well, I'll just let you hear it. But we wrote I put the song together, and I said, this is what I need. And I let her go on it, and it just turned out to be this amazing piece of work. And almost everybody that I know that has bought the CD, this song resonates with them. So here is Shamika Dream from Triumphant. No Victim. No Victim. Yes, yes, yes,
yes.
We had fun writing that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. That was a lot of pieces of paper. That was a lot of pieces of paper. Oh, my gosh. I remember it was like,
right.
Maybe it's this one. No, it's not that one. Lots of verses.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked that process, though, because...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying I like that process because there are pieces like sometimes you have a line or you write a whole verse and you don't use it, but there's like one line in there, right? And it'll come up later and you're like, wow, that's a really great line. I feel like I've had that forever. And it's because it came from another piece, but you didn't use it. So I had some lines and pieces come from that process for other parts of my project. So I appreciated that.
Yes, when I teach playwriting at one of the universities here in the city, and one of the things I always tell my students is don't throw anything away, don't edit while you're writing, just allow it to come out, let what needs to be presented, just let it go, and you can always go back and edit, and I always find that maybe some things don't fit. In the grand scheme of things, they don't fit in that particular piece. But I can't tell you how many times I've been stuck for a line and have gone back and found that, and it worked perfectly in another piece. So don't throw anything away. And, in fact, I ended up buying. I mean, I still write by hand because there's something very organic about that process, and it slows down the thought process. And so while I'm having one idea, two or three are coming at the same time. But it allows me to filter those, although I did break down and buy Master Writer last year. So I use that as a backup.
Okay.
But I still start out the old-fashioned way. And it's great
pen
to store that stuff on Master Writer when you get stuck. But, yeah, but I always start with pen and paper. It's like therapy, isn't it?
It is. It's writing is extremely cathartic. There are times when we had, like, you know, we walk around and we're artists, and people, especially because of what happened, like, because I practice Reiki and because of what happened in Baltimore with the smudging, people assume that I'm this super, like, person, you know? And sometimes you're like, well, no.
If they only knew.
I know, right? And so sometimes we have to go back to our coping mechanisms. I had something happen even recently, like in just, you know, like in buying this bicycle that I bought. I have a bicycle now. And I've been recognizing how much working out I haven't been doing, but that's okay. We go. I'm like, oh, my God. So anyway, there was this whole incident, like during the buying of the bicycle that was supposed to be so easy, you know? And I ended up going home and writing a poem, not about that, but just being like, I need to write one of them poems where I can just see what I got to say about something, you know, so I can let it out where I'm going to explode. And so I did that, and it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, I have done that myself. I started writing when I was about, 12 years old, and was going through a lot of turmoil in my family life. Yeah, and my eighth grade teacher, a lovely little Irish nun. I went to a Catholic school at the time, and lovely. I will never forget her name, Sister Mary Murray. And she came down. she presented me, and you know, she's one of these nuns where she hardly ever smiled. You know, and oh my God, we thought she was like, you know, oh, she was just so mean, nasty, mean. And she comes down and says, you know, love, you might want to write your feelings down. And I said, okay. And she walked away, looked at me. She wouldn't smile, but I got that look, right? And I just started writing from that point on. So, and it did. It literally saved my life. It kept me from doing a bunch of crazy stuff and running away from home, which I wanted to. I planned it, you know. So, yeah, it's...
Pack the bag.
It's more... Now, I hadn't gotten there yet, but I was planning where I was going to go and how much money I had. See, my mother made the mistake of letting me work that summer for my aunt, and she took me down to the bank, and she opened up a savings account for me and passbook savings, and so, and my grandmother was on there too, so I knew how to figure out how to get the money out of it, and I knew how much money I had, so I mapped out a trip on the Greyhound of where I was going and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, then it was a trip to the juvenile detention center in Tulsa that kind of shocked me back into reality. Well, things might be rough, but they're not that bad. So I really poured myself Right. So I really poured myself into the writing, and that really helped keep me focused and on course. So I understand. This is my personal story. I'm sure many, many writers, you for one, have very similar stories, or, you know, about that urge, and it just kind of creeps up on you sometimes.
Yeah, and so, I had writer's block for a little while, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to me about writer's block and how you got out of it. And before we do that, I just want to encourage folks to call in, give a shout out to Shamika if you want to dream, 646-929-0630. If you're so inclined, we'd love to hear your shout out.
Check
so
you up.
Go ahead. How'd that happen?
Writer's block. How did writer's block happen? I don't know. I woke up one day and I wanted to write and I couldn't. I woke up one day and the writing police had spent all night working, building up these cinder blocks around nouns and verbs and prepositions and metaphors and similes, just, you know, put them all in the safe and told me I had to pay a toll. And so for a while there, I was trying to figure out how to pay the toll to the, to the poetry police. Did I say poetry police the first time? I hope so. So to the poetry police. And finally, I realized that what it was is that I had overloaded myself with all of these thoughts and feelings and stories from other people, you know, through all of this stuff that had happened. And I was spending all of this time telling other people's stories and not processing things. And I'm like, well, how am I going to pay the poetry police? You know, and they said, you got to be quiet for a while, actually. You know, like the reason you have writer's block is because you need to shut the hell up, you know? And you have to go in and you need to explore some things. Like the reason we're not giving you the words is because there are no words for you to say. That's why you have 2 ears. Like, what the heck, you know? And so, June, I think that's why even now I feel like normally I would have had like 12 poems and stuff, you know, but the things that are coming out now are much, to me, are sounding way more meaningful. And the coming out of it was really about getting way more in touch with my feelings and doing things that bring about the breath and getting back to into a fairly consistent yoga practice and crying a whole lot in June. And even the beginning of July, but a whole lot of June, and facing things and saying things I was upset about, and, you know, just doing all of that old mess and admitting all of these places and spaces where I was wrong or had experienced wrong. I know, right? I'm gonna say, no, wrong, yes, wrong. And or had expectations of myself that I don't feel like meeting anymore. Like, you know, I don't feel like meeting that sucky anymore. Like, you know, I felt like painting a new picture. And when I realized that I wanted to paint a new picture, the poetry police were like, yay, you have paid the toll, pass, go, collect $2 million, and, you know, here we are.
No, I hear you because, I've had a similar situation where, you know, I used to journal all the time. And every year for my birthday, that's one of my gifts to myself is to go buy. I go to Barnes & Noble, or if I don't see what I like there, or the Staples, or and then I'll order, you know, something nice and pretty because I want to be motivated to write or, you know, whatever sort of, you know, hits my fancy at the time. And I've written very little this year, and that is so unusual for me. It's like my birthday is coming up in 2 weeks. And I have, like, all these pages to fill up. But there's been, like, been nothing. It's been a very internal process. I just feel like there's new stuff needing to be birthed. And I think some of it has been, you ever get to the point where you get tired of yourself? You get tired of your own mess?
Mm-hmm.
You get tired of, okay, well, I think that's where it was. There's nothing more to do but just to do the thing. So stop talking about it. And I couldn't really, I've not really been very prolific. You know, I've made a promise I was going to blog X amount of times, and that hasn't happened. And I just realized it's just time to be over that and just move on, you know, tell a different story, make a different story, and just keep it moving. So that's what it's been for me. And now I'm feeling this urge to, like, go do all these arts and crafty things, like decoupage my dining room, my living room trunk. I use it as a coffee table for those of you that have been to my house. And you know, I am not a visual artist, but I want to go paint and do, I don't know, handprints and tempera color and, you know, crazy little things like that. I'm feeling that urge to just be creative. So I'm sure that that will make its way back into my life, mm-hmm. through writing. So very interesting. Actually, it's making its way, period, with these two grants I've got coming up. But anyway, yeah. So talk to me, because you write some really, really powerful stuff. Talk to me briefly about the Dream Reiki Project. Talk to me very briefly about also the Wise Woman Project and about how people can find out about your work and that sort of thing. And then we're going to go to, mm-hmm. another song, okay?
Okay, cool. So people can find me. Everything is Shameka Dream, Shameka Dream. So ShamikaDream.com. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, and I think Tumblr. Pinterest and Tumblr, I'm not nearly as active. Facebook and Instagram, I'm more active. But, again, I've been very introverted, so sometimes you might see me posting, like, a bunch of things that I like from other people's posts, and not posting a lot. Sometimes I'm writing a whole... The Dream Reiki Project is a touring... Healing Arts and Mona Center, I'm realizing, I know, right, that trains people, practices Reiki and trains people in Reiki on a sliding scale, and it's about making the healing arts accessible and affordable to anyone and all who want it. So the goal this year is to attune 200 people, and actually we got to 22 on, what day was that? 22 on Friday, 22 or 24,
Wonderful.
22, I think, on Friday. So that was really nice. And I know that some of the trainings will be happening in Baltimore as well, which is really cool. In addition to that, so people can find out about that by going to, I think there's Dream Reiki Project at WordPress.com. And if you go to Shameka Dream, .com and you click, there's like a banner right below the picture, I think at the top, something like that, that says Healing Arts. So if you click Healing Arts, one of them, I believe, will say Reiki. And so that's where people can learn a little bit more about Reiki and what I do with that. The Wise Woman Project is my debut album that I released last December via a download card. And to be very honest, I did it and then kind of continued with the journey, and Jacksonville happened, you know, and so it kind of got put in a tomorrow file in terms of really promoting it the way I wanted to. And then what starts to happen with that, because I worked on that project for a long time, is that I think it will always be a part of the catalog, but that I am... in my spirit of a project coming, you know, and I'm happy with that project. So I will definitely be making it available online. The downloads actually maxed out, and I don't know all that tech stuff, you know. And I realize it's not my thing, like the whole knowing that part of it. And I'm so cool with that now. I used to, like, beat myself up about saying, I'm like, oh, I don't feel like doing that part. So I'm going to get someone to do it and use my skills elsewhere. To be honest.
Understood.
And, yeah, but a project is coming. Like, I feel a project coming, you know. I've written a piece here and there, or like a line has come here and there. And I'm like, ooh. So some kind of project. I don't know if it will be only audio. I don't know.
Okay. I'm excited to hear that. I'll be really happy to see
that.
Oh,
and I forgot about the book. So there's two books in progress. One is Daydreams, Nightmares, and Healing. And that is a memoir. I know, right?
That is a very provocative title. Daydreams, Nightmares, and what's the other part of it?
Healing.
Healing. Wow.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow.
Okay. Thank you. Yay.
I love that.
And, right. And I actually think, like, it's so funny because my mom read it and gave me her honest feedback and was like, it sounds like you're, you know, writing about someone else. and that kind of made me want to put it on the back burner. But I think I'm going to revisit it, and I think I might like it where it is and just want to add the visuals to it because I think I am writing about someone else at this point. So there are some things that I'll add to explain that until I run weave that in there. I hope to finish that before the end of the year, but if I don't, you know, I'm cool. And then the other one is a book of poems, but that one is going to be limited to only 100 copies ever. And I'm
And why is
making
that?
them because I want to.
Is that good enough reason?
Yeah, I try,
And
and
if
I've
there was
tried to
some
think of like other
symbolism.
reasons why, and actually because I can, yeah, because I want to and I can, because I, you know, so for a long time I was trying to, so it's because like there I want to do individual I'm all excited, right? Individual like versions. I want to meet the people that buy the book. I want to give them each an individual inscription and like thank them for buying it. I'm not selling it. I won't sell it online when I do it. I won't print it online. I won't share the pieces online. And basically, like when you buy the book, like you promise that you won't share any of the pieces online, ever. So,
Wow.
because I think
Okay.
sometimes that because it's all like oh like digital social media you have to I really don't. I don't. You know what I mean? I don't have to be beholden to like doing things a certain way just because it says so in a book or in a Wikipedia or on a website or because some person who's smart said so, you know? I know how I have a library card and I use it. So there are some, I mean, I believe in, you know, in following wisdom, but when it comes to art, there are certain things that spirit says do this. And, you know, a spirit wants to make these books and to cover them in burlap and to give them to people in this particular way.
Gotcha.
And so that's what I'm going to do with it.
Wow, that is so amazing. I'm just really, I'm thrilled and just really curious, and I'm looking forward to its release, and I intend to get one of those 100 copies. Okay, just putting it out there, just putting it out
Okay.
there. So now, thank you for sharing about that. Talk to us about the Wise Woman Project. What are you doing with that?
So the Wise Woman Project, so there's actually two the Wise Woman Project. There's the album. Oh, you know what I've been doing with that? I have been using the pieces for like in all kinds of situations. In private, like during healing sessions, which was like so the pieces when I wrote them, they were truly, truly, truly about my healing, you know, even though I knew that I was also writing them for others. And so what I've noticed is with every like it used to be like the pieces were they were like difficult to recite and I would cry and all this other stuff, you know, and it's changed. And I realize how much it's changed because of like how people respond to it when they're hearing particular pieces, and I'm like, why are you so sad? Or, you know, oh, not for a lot of them, but for some, I'm like, well, why, you know, why are you upset? Like, I'm okay, and I feel so sad for you. And I'm realizing I'm in a different space because I used to want the people to feel the pain for me. And I've recognized that that's not necessary anymore. And so as much as I can, what I do is I support individual artists through their own healing, many times as it relates to trauma, using not only those pieces, but other pieces, and
Gotcha.
actually kind of low-key supporting them, low-key supporting them on like their own projects. So working through those transitions so that they can then, you know, start their own artistic or professional, sometimes both, endeavors. It's also about, well, the Jean Wakey Project really partners with the does more partnering with the Monument Quilt, but Wise Woman Project, in terms of what I do through Wise Woman Project, I perform a lot of the displays you do too. Well, obviously you know that because we do it together sometimes, but I perform at the quilt displays when asked, and also, and really, what else? I'm trying to think of what happens with the Wise Woman Project. And I write. So I do write articles, but because I just put them out on the website, it's not officially Wise Woman Project. I should probably start that hashtag up again.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Good to know that you're still...
Thank you.
...doing this, because I know that they were so impactful, you know, and...
Oh, thank you very much.
It's nice to know that you're still doing that work, and, you know, that you... You know, we all... I guess as artists, we ebb and flow with our projects, and especially sometimes when life or changes get in the way, sometimes we step away from it. But that was really impactful. And it's nice to know that you.
Well, I think also that part of what I realized, I think that that's part of that. Not, I think I feel, I know and feel that initially I was thinking too much and not feeling enough. As I was like, oh, well, why am I not doing this at this time? Stuff is getting in the way. When truly what it was about was things happening in the proper time, you know, and also about creating balance, life balance. So the healing work, especially like those large scale events and all of that. And because in many ways I'm a novice, it's a lot. And although we can give love all the time, it, you know, we have infinite love to give, it is also necessary to put your oxygen mask on first so that, you know, you don't go down. And so I think that part of the reason why I ebb and flow so much between projects is because it helps me to create that balance. You have those projects that are based in activism more, like when I'm writing, it's always more, there's always more activism or healing happening, whereas if I'm doing the books or, you know, when I make skirts and wearable art, which is a totally personal, or paint, or those things which are totally personal arts, they help me to balance back out and just kind of fill the well back up so that I can do what those other things are. Like symbiotic cropping.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So I'm going to play a little bit of Surrender, if I can, if this will let me. And I'm going to see if we can play some of this. And give folk the opportunity to hear your work with what you've done with that. If I can get it to load up. It's being a bit temperamental today. Okay.
It is.
Temperamental. All right, here we go.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here. Okay, is it going to do it? Ah. Okay, well, let's try it again. Yeah, it decided it wanted to take its time loading. Technical things. That's why I'd love to have an engineer.
Excuse me, I was having to clear my throat for a second there. I had to move the phone from my ear.
You hear it?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, well, we'll see if we can pull it up at another time. But yes, all right.
So if you would like, I can share a piece with you.
Please do.
Okay, so the piece that we talked about was the Wise Woman Project. Oh, you got it?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay, so the piece that we had talked about was Wise Woman. I said the Wise Woman Project, but it's called Wise Woman. And so I'll do that piece. And please excuse my voice. I was riding a bike today and wasn't expecting to perform in terms of that way. Hopefully my volume isn't too loud.
It's fine.
It's all right. Okay. Wise woman, how did you get here? Wise woman, how did you get here? I never got here, I'm just passing through. Spirit gave me a story for me and you, wise woman. For the woman who is listening, beaten and afraid, I've got a story to tell. Say his name. For the woman who is listening, embarrassed and ashamed, I've got a story to tell. Say her name there, all the same, right? I've got my story to tell, right? I am the one who was beaten, afraid, embarrassed, ashamed. Now I manifest my healing by praying, saying his name. Ba, 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 ba. Spoken word artist, youth educator, so-called activist, couldn't pray for him before this. Because I was just holding on, only healing my arm, wanted to write a song about how he did me wrong. Wait, hold on, he did me wrong. This ain't no love song. I'm about to put him on to the police, the feds, and anyone else looking. Whatever names he calls himself has another thing coming. I'm not running. He was sending threatening messages on Facebook before I even got started. Wasn't going to tell my story. I was going to be another domestic violence travesty dearly departed. But my heart is close to this. Staying quiet makes me remiss. I'm tired of women being beaten only to have to answer questions that have nothing to do with justice. Just this one phrase. What did you do? I know what I did about just. Right, one day in my house, we had been broken up, been putting him out. He had shit going on he wasn't nothing about. Now, the fact that my standards were real low at the time had already been addressed in another rhyme. Back to the original issue at hand, I had broken up with a boy who wasn't a real man. So on this particular day, we were not even a couple, but my messaging to the brother was a bit too subtle. So when the arguing started to get real loud, I told the little boy, get the F out my house. This upset him to no end, I must admit. He told me, get out of the place where I was paying rent. My patience was spent, and I called him a witch, and would do it again. It was on my spirit. I had no idea what was about to transpire. He didn't use his fist, he took the savagery higher. He turned around and grabbed a 4-foot metal tension rod, walked right up to me, hit his sister real, real hard. Across the head, across the face, across even my temple, the same black belt that said hitting you there makes murder simple. While struggling to stay standing, I realized the brother was mental. About a dozen hits to my head before he broke my arm, left me for dead, but reinforced the fact that I am strong. I walked down to my neighbor with blood spewing from my head. It soaked my whole dress. That's how much I bled. Stitches, fractures, a cast for 8 weeks because I called up some witches when he proved himself weak. For those who want to lecture about how I antagonized, what would you say if I was your sister, or wife, or mother, or coworker, or friend, or neighbor, or lover? So why give a brother this much attention? Why say his name? Why make the mention? Because the brother was running from justice, preventing the consequences he clearly requested. So I implored the community to bring the fire, that made him viral, to help the police find him. He was sending me threatening messages saying it was my last and final warning. Well, I showed him what happens when you beat on women. I'll make sure you are found and end up in prison. He didn't write the wrong. He didn't write the song. When the people saw the cops, they put him on. They didn't hurt the brother. Didn't lay your hand. His karma was coming. I didn't have to pass judgment. Knowledge of self says it comes from reflections within. Not sin, but separation from the God within. Indescribable the feeling is. She breathes. She breathes in. It was numb from the inhalers, if her nerves were impaired with anesthesia. An eye for an eye, her spirit cried more like an arm for an arm, strong. She wanted to see him done in, but what about this makes her my fantasy? Reality slips easily from my grasp if I let her. But I hold on. I stand up. I give thanks. The wise eyes stirred every time, so much so that I know when to take a seat. Vain defeat. Let freedom ring. Scars stop stinging as soon as you start praying. Seek forgiveness. The strength to forgive trespasser and self. Thank God for giving me another chance to excel. Wise woman. How did you get here? I never got here. I'm just passing through. Spirit gave me a story for me and you. Wise woman.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so grateful. I want to play a clip.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. I'm going to play a clip from Triumphant again, the one I was trying to find a moment ago, Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to, we're going to just jump over to the entrepreneurship part. And I want you to tell me about In My Mama's Kitchen. All right?
Okay.
We'll be back after this. This is Shumika
Dream. Thank you so much.
Surrender.
This is about what you do when you have done everything that you can do and there's nothing left to do but to pray and to surrender.
I fight myself so often, trying not to fall back under your spell of the stories you tell. As much as you move to my rhythm, your idea of integrity is not one with precision. So blurry lines I erase in favor of the solid blank slate of aloneness. I would rather be alone than be your misguided queen, set high up a broken throne, made up of rumors and lies and misunderstandings.
Insecurities too. Meanwhile, you think it's all about you.
Thought it was all about you, but I have feelings too.
It's not about my ego. This is not the completely ignore your love show.
So I surrender.
Realize that you should choose me.
There's nothing left to say. It wouldn't matter anyway.
negligence, total baseness, your absence was the last straw.
So I surrender.
Continue giving freely to someone who does not reciprocate the love feeling. The time has come for me to decide whether it is about me, us, or you. There is no future that you and I can form in the current state of this union, which is untrue. I have spent too long waiting for you to come around to think this behavior is okay. If I keep on waiting, I will almost certainly miss the happiness meant to come my way. So I'm not gonna take it. Not gonna take it no more. I'm not gonna take it. The love's gone.
I'm standing at the door, not coming back no more.
Make sure you remember what I look like.
And that is Shamika Dream with me on Surrender from my CD Triumphant. How did you feel to hear that after all that time?
Amazing. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate hearing it after. Sometimes, you know, when you haven't looked at something in a while, when you haven't heard something in a while, and you're hearing where you are, it really serves as a reminder at the appropriate time.
Absolutely. And I remember us writing that. We had a couple of writing sessions with that because I was really stuck with that one. I really wasn't quite sure how it was going to work out. And we, you know, I'm not going to take it. That was the first the working title. And then we ended up with so many. Remember the video Remember the video at Panera Bread? We actually had a writing session at
Panera. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. We are not going to take it.
We're not going to take it. Ooh.
I know.
Talk to me. I am so grateful that you said yes to that. I really do. I can't tell you how many people have talked about that being one of their favorite songs and loving the trade off the statement and the, you know, as we would say in theater, the text and then the inner monologue, you know, the point and the text and subtext, if you will. And so I really like the fact that you agreed to co-write that with me. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you again for having me. I was honored.
Talk to me about In My Mama's Kitchen. Talk about entrepreneurship. Talk to me about how all that came about.
In My Mama's Kitchen, Body Butters, and Now So Much More literally started in my mama's kitchen in Glens Falls, New York. And I had always kind of delved into, you know, my own, making my own stuff and holistic products. But I was looking for something that I felt like I wasn't getting in a lot of other products. And also just, even like years before that, like, had made something for my brother, you know, just always was into it. And so I was running up and down the steps, like, to my parents, my mom's room, saying, like, try this smell, because I was trying to make smells that would that we could put on a man, and it would make him smell edible. And so I was trying, like sugar and vanilla and cinnamon. You know, of course, essential oils as well, but I was really putting sugar on the shea butter. And finally, my mother was like, you know, the smell is all great, but it's the texture. Because at the time it was just the shea. And so I had always kind of experimented with other stuff, but wasn't thinking about being with back into the kitchen, which is the lab in my world. And I started making butter, and then people really liked them. And my mom was like, "This is a gold mine. You should go to farmers market. You should do this. You should do that." And I was kind of like, "Yeah, okay." And I would just make some butters and have them with me. So, like, I had butters in Jacksonville. I had butters in Oklahoma. You know, that kind of thing. But, like, wasn't really, really stopping to think about it. Was thinking about it, but just wasn't really stopping to do it, to set it up and make it the way I wanted it to be. And then here in Vallejo, once I realized that I was staying, like, well, what am I going to do with myself in Vallejo, you know? Well, let's start making butter. When I rested, I just focused on doing what I like to do. And I like making butters, so I started making butters. And everything else just fell into place. Like, I found a space that I can go to end every week, and people really like them or asking for other products. And the space does coffee, so I can get coffee grounds from them to make coffee scrubs. And, you know, there's rosemary and lavender everywhere here. And so I started making infusions, and I make bath and massage oils. You know, so it's all of that. And then practitioners, I wanted to use my products to use on their clients. And, spreading a little bit like wildfire. Like, at this point, what's happening is I order supplies, I make butters, and they go. And then I'm like, you know, that's it. Like, I only have 10 jars of anything right now. That's everything. I only have 10 little jars right now. And people buy them in twos and fours. So that's like, you know, by Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll probably be out. But I love it. I'm at Mischetti's every Mischetti's in Vallejo every Saturday. Well, when I'm on this coast. Well, actually, no. In my mama's kitchen is there every Saturday from 9 to 1. And then I'm online. There's an Etsy shop online in my mama's kitchen. Mama's is M-A-M-M-A-S, by the way. And then I think there would be a shop, but I haven't, like, really truly launched it yet. And I share the creation on my Shamika Jean Instagram page sometimes, but I have to get better about that stuff again. It's not, you know, all the way my thing. I like doing, and it's not always like taking a picture of the thing that I'm doing and stopping to take a video about what I'm doing, talk about the, you know. So I have to get intentional about that part of the process. But yeah, like, I'll be, you know, bringing butters back to the East Coast and shipping butters wherever they go. Yeah. And I know at least a couple people who are in other countries or have relatives in other countries that are like, well, do you ship? And I'm like, through my Etsy, I do. So, yeah, I ship internationally as well.
That is great. That is great. So everybody knows you can get your body butters from in my mama's kitchen. And we also know how to download some of the work from Dream and to get in touch with her on her blog and Facebook page and Instagram, Twitter, Ineffable Dream, and hashtag Ineffable Dream. And what are some of the other hashtags they can find you?
So the hashtags, in my mama's kitchen is a hashtag. Please, anybody that I know who's out there who has, I'll definitely be sharing this on the site, who has purchased a butter or an oil or a scrub, please share and hashtag in my mama's kitchen. Also, if you want to place an order but you don't want to go through Etsy and all of that, you can email inmymamaskitchen@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with Dream Reiki Project, it's dreamreikiproject@gmail.com. And then, of course, through the website, I think you can follow me on Facebook. And then on Facebook, it's Shamika Dream, and also on Instagram. Shamika Dream 2015 is another hashtag. But again, the major ones are Dream Reiki Project and Mama's Kitchen and Shamika Dream 2015.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It has been a joy to talk to you and to find out about the wonderful
things. Thank you for having me again. I keep saying it, but I really mean it.
You're so welcome. And let us know when you're going to be back in this part of the country.
I will be in the East Coast. I will only be around for like 2 weeks. And part of that time is actually at a leadership retreat for a Monument Group. So like 4 days there already kind of gone. But in mid to late August, so like the week that I'll be taking clients in Baltimore, or the days really, are the 17th, 18th, and 19th. So I'll be in Baltimore guaranteed on the 17th, 18th, and 19th of Baltimore, of August, excuse me, and a little bit on the 13th, but I'll be traveling that day.
Good. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And
thank you for joining
once again on Blog Talk Radio. This is Galetta Gillespie on Updraft, and I want to thank everybody for joining us today. The show is rebroadcast, actually, and I'll be posting the link to that. So for those that came in on the tail end or you missed part of it, you'll be able to hear the whole thing in its entirety starting tomorrow. So thanks again for joining us, and we're going to be continuing our look at entrepreneurs in the next few weeks. Next week we will have Tapora Bilizikian. She is the owner of Monave Mineral Cosmetics and skincare products here in the Baltimore area. And she also is a very accomplished songwriter, singer-songwriter, and classically trained pianist. And so we're going to talk to her about the intersection of her art and making makeup. And so thanks once again, Blog Talk Radio. And we'll see you, we'll be here again next Sunday. Have an amazing week. Be well. Take care of yourselves. Stay in peace. Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Galetta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old school favorites in R&B, hip hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us, as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.